is 1 Peter. And in the very first chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and the sermon this morning is still searching, still believing, and still rejoicing. And then we're going to focus on still rejoicing and in the state of the church today. And I don't know about other churches, but I'm talking about the state of Berean Missionary Church today. Won't you stand, please, just for a minute while we look into God's word in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll begin at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom have not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you, though those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look upon. Oh Lord, we thank you this morning, Heavenly Father, for your word. We pray that it is received by all here, and that all hearts are blessed and become comforted by these very critical and important words. We thank you, Lord God, for the past week as we fellowshipped and as we heard preaching and as we shouted and danced for joy last night. We thank you for the opportunity always to worship you in a spirit of holiness and in truth. And we are enthused this morning, Lord God, that we have one more opportunity. And we look forward, we look forward to the next time we can come together. We know that all things work together for the good, Lord God. So everything that you send in our way, we are prepared to make the best of it. We praise you and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Be seated, please. This is going to be a fairly short sermon, as short as the Lord allows it to be, at least, because what I'm going to do is just offer you a few observations from this passage that we have right before us here concerning the state of the church and its still rejoicing. And that first point is this: the state of the Berean Missionary Church by still rejoicing in a hope that does not disappoint. Look at your Bibles, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, how is it reserved in heaven for you? Look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. We here see that we have an inheritance not disappointing at all. Why is that need a reason? Why is that a reason for rejoicing? See, because the world is so disappointing. I've actually seen people be disappointed in inheritances. You go to the reading, I don't know, anybody here ever been to a reading of the will and as the will is being read, John gets 40 acres and Sally gets 1 acre and old Jim gets 2 acres and so everybody's not really happy with that. But we have an inheritance, and that hope is inheritance in Christ that we can all rejoice in, because we have an inheritance where it's based on a hope that does not disappoint. You remember what Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans when he said, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by who? By the Holy Spirit who has given to us. And see, in our text today, we see, right, that we just read it, that we are kept by this power. A hope that does not disappoint means that there has to be some secure anchor. And knowing us, if we had opportunity, and I want to say this, if we had opportunity, we'd slip loose from that anchor. So we are secured. And let me tell you something. Anybody that ever tells you that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow, you can sit them down and show them these passages and tell them that is impossible. Because we are kept by the power of God. Now, do you know anybody that's bigger than God? Have you ever thought yourself as being bigger than God? When Jesus was here on this earth, he taught this, and you can jot this down in John chapter 10. He says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. This is our hope. I give them, John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall, I love this word. I'm glad they put this word in. He says, neither shall anyone, in my Bible, the New King James says, snatch. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. It's passages like this. It's passages that make me really concerned about preachers and teachers who telling their people that you can lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation because the Bible is saying nobody can snatch. Now, I'm going to show you something. Nobody can snatch you out of his hand. Huh? But wait a minute. Suppose that was possible. So read this now. Everybody turn to John chapter 10. I want you to look at it. Just look at it. I give them eternal life. This is Jesus talking. John chapter 10. The next time you talk to somebody about, I can lose my salvation, you ask them, saying, who are you? Are you bad? And I give them, verse 28, eternal life. First of all, that's eternal. Eternal is eternal, and you can't stop eternal from being eternal because eternal means forever. I give them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's Jesus talking. But look at the first one. Wait a minute. Look at the next statement. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, wait a minute. Is that solid? Number one, Jesus says nobody can snatch you out of my hands, but there's somebody greater than I am, and nobody can snatch you out of his hand. That's two. That's two. But you know, I thought about this last night. That's two. But what about that passage that talks about a threefold cord can't be broken? Then Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 tells us we are sealed to the day of redemption. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can explain this. Number one, God has got you. Number two, the Son of God has got you. Number three, the Holy Ghost has got you. Nobody can take away your salvation. It is spiritually and scripturally impossible. You say, well, what about me? Can I just walk off and leave it? Come on now. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And you saw me with this demonstration. Okay, I'm going to walk off and leave God. Okay. Where can you go from his Spirit, huh? Make your bed in the deepest joint of iniquity, and he's there. Climb to the top of the highest mountain on the face of this earth, and he's there. Go off into the deep blue sea where nobody else has ever gone before, and he's there. Look left, he's there. Look right, he's there. Look up, he's there. Look down, he's there. Nobody can take you out of the hand of an omnipotent, omnipresent God. Nobody. Let somebody tell you, well, you don't, the people sit out there and watch you, don't they? Waiting for you to make one little oopsie doopsie, and you make it, you must not be saved. They didn't save you, so they can't unsave you. Nobody, but nobody can snatch you out of, that's our hope. That's the hope we have, that we are absolutely secure in God's hand, and we are kept by this power. Oh, man. There's a second observation, that the state of the Berean Missionary Church is still rejoicing in the hope that does not disappoint, because we have a measure of faith. All Christians have this. Verse 8 in our text, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, don't we? We sing it, don't we? We believe that he died and rose again. Then we say we believe that he paid for us all, and we believe that he is here now. Now, when we get to that part, you understand what you're saying. We believe right now. We already sung the song. We believe right now. And if we didn't believe this, we need to get up and go on home. We believe right now that Jesus Christ is here in our midst. Huh? Right now we believe that. Now, wait a minute, though. It's difficult for some people to understand that we can believe something like that, that he's here right now. Well, if he's here right now, who's up in heaven watching over us? Who's standing at the right hand of God if he's here right now? But we believe he's here right now. Now, wait a minute. Let me show you something. Because of this measure of faith, that's all we need. We don't have to see him to believe that he's here right now. We don't have, if we could see him, it'd be different, but we don't have to see him. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. I mean, can you understand that? When you come to church, you have to believe when you get here that Jesus is here with you. Not only is he in our midst, he said, well, two or three of y'all would get together, I'll come. But not only is that, but you can be in the closet by yourself, just you, by yourself, and he's right there with you. We are in an age where you got to see it to believe it. That's what's wrong with the world today. They're always looking for something that they can see to make them believe. They want to see somebody jump higher, sing louder, run across the pews so that they can believe that salvation is in the place. But let me tell you something. Jesus is here right now. Today, you can't get away from it. See, because what was that disciple that was sitting there? Said, I don't believe it. They said, well, Jesus is alive. Said, I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. Sometimes we get like that. You know why? Because we can't see him. We can't feel him. Huh? But just because you can't feel him, does that mean he's not there? That's why I tell people all the time, don't you trust your feelings. I'll tell y'all more about it here in a minute, but it hit me last night, and I just couldn't feel him. But that didn't mean he wasn't there. This is our hope, and this is what the church, this is the state of the church today. The state of this church is that we walk by faith and not by sight. And how much faith does it take? Somebody told me about as much as a grain of a mustard seed. That's how much faith it takes. You don't need but a little bit to get you to the cross. They don't need but. And you know what the beauty of this whole thing is? We don't come here with that faith. You don't sit up one day and, oh, I got faith in Jesus. According to Pauline theology, faith is a gift from God. Because before we had faith in what? We had faith in stuff like our jobs, our education, our natural abilities, that is pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. We had faith in all kind of stuff. We had faith in our children. Man, oh Lord, about that. We had faith in the boss man. Some people even had faith in the president of the United States, the government. I got faith in the government. But what about, how many y'all, anybody here got faith in the police department? We have had our faith in every place but the right place. And all of these things are things we can see, huh? But we've been seeing some stuff on the news here recently that has really shattered our faith. So if our faith was based on the police department, it's getting shaky. If our faith was based on the government, it's getting shaky. If our faith was based on anything other than Jesus Christ, who is the same today, yesterday, and forever, it's getting shaky. We've come this far by faith, truly. Because the road has not always been clear without obstacles. But we are still here today. Then there's another observation, that the state of the Berean Missionary Church still rejoicing in a hope that does not disappoint, because we have a measure of faith that is based on not our works, but the scripture, verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ. Our faith is not based on our works. I just said we didn't come up with it. God gave it to us. We didn't work for it. And now some, you hear me say it all the time. You didn't pray long enough. You couldn't have prayed long enough. You couldn't have read enough in the Bible. You couldn't have. Our faith is built on the, and I like this part, this where it says the, sometimes we forget about the blood, don't we? Huh? Say, well, the blood, that's so bohemianish. But we believe that it is by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are what we are. He said he was a precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. He indeed was, verse 20, foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for who? For you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You see the word play on the words here again. Faith, who's your faith in? Faith in Christ. Who is your faith in? Faith in God. Who is your faith in? Faith in the Holy Spirit. Our faith is solidly fastened to the best sources in the universe, and we can thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. The scripture calls it the precious blood. My grandma, I know, Mama used to tell us some weird stuff. I think, I don't know what this one was for. Y'all know, I hope nobody else's parents did. Mama used to, you could have a little tear on your pants, a little rag or something, and you show it to Mama on a Sunday. I said, Mama, before I go to church, you tear. So she said, no, I can't do that. My grandmother wouldn't sew on a Sunday. Y'all grandma wouldn't either. Something wrong with that, wasn't it, though? My grandma, you couldn't trick Pearl into sewing on a Sunday, because she said every stitch you stitch was a drop of the Savior's blood. Now, I don't know whether or not she read this passage and viewed it as the precious blood. I don't know where the sewing came in at. But the point is, she viewed the Savior's blood as precious and not be willing to make one drop of it washed in the blood. We got all them good songs. Oh, the blood. Yes, sir. And never. Gonna go. I'm washed in the blood. And y'all don't see some of you guys. Y'all wasn't in the Pentecostal churches, but I was. And I can remember them old sisters say, "We plead the blood." Anybody remember that? "We plead the blood." I mean, they would plead the blood too. And you said, "Well, that's just scary." That is biblical. Relying on the blood of Christ. What does that mean? Well, we know what his blood did. His blood covered our sins. His blood was shed because we could not do anything for ourselves. His blood was the gift that he gave all of himself so that we could understand that we have the right to the tree of life. So children of God, it's our right to plead the blood of Jesus. This started out to be a very upbeat and positive sermon. It's going to end like that. But I do have a however here. Look at verse 6. Last night, yesterday after church, before we left here, the devil tried to slip in and steal all that joy that I had built up. He knew I was too happy. So he slid in. Now, wait a minute. I wish I could tell you, please don't think little of me, but I wish I could tell you that he tried to steal my joy. I wish I could tell you that. But some of you been there. You been there. If you won't admit it, I'm going to admit it for you. The devil didn't just try to steal my joy. He stole it. Stole it. Just that fast. As fast as it came upon me, as powerful as it was, the devil snuck in, slept in, slithered in, slimed in, and stole my joy. You see? But God is good. Look at verse 6, what it says. We're going to have an English lesson here in a minute. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be," see, it must have been necessary, "you have been grieved by various trials." Now, "though now" is one word in the Greek. It's arte. And those who know a little bit about the English, I'm learning every day, it's an adjective, or an adverb, I'm sorry, it's an adverb. Now, based on, in the Bible, this adverb shows up 4 times, meaning the future, 2 times, meaning the past, but here, and 24 other times, what it means is right now. So here what we have. "In this you greatly rejoice, though right now, for a little while, if indeed be, you have been grieved by various..." Right now was my last, it was last night. Right now. Now, we know that the adverb does what? It modifies the verb. What verb? Rejoice is the verb. So here we have an adverb that's done modified my verb rejoice, and I'm going to be grieved just for a little while right now. "In this you greatly rejoice, but right now you are being tested, Robert. Right now you are in the fire, Robert. Right now you are in the belly of the fish, Robert. Right now you are in the lion's den, Robert. Right now you are like a ship that is tossed and driven, battered by an angry wave and sea and storm is raging, and you're falling and crying and yelling, and all the time you need to take courage because God has promised you, I'm right here with you. The scripture says, weeping, did in fact endure for the night. But at 3 o'clock this morning, joy joy came rushing in. Like a mighty wind flooding my soul, I had to jump up out the bed. I thought I was right back here where I left at. I was praising God, just shouting all the way down the hall, went back there, read me some more scriptures, some verses, and put them together, stayed in there. Next thing I know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, the alarms was going off. Let me tell you something. I was still shouting. But for, that is the reality of things. But for a moment. So what did we do? You see, that's truly the state of the church. We have some ups. And thank God that our ups are more than our downs, but that's real, huh? But the truth of the matter is that when we are having our ups and praising God, we need to get like Paul and learn how to praise God in our downtime. What am I saying? You say, well, Robert, that's being hypocritical. If I don't feel like it, if I ain't happy about it, why in the world am I supposed to rejoice? Babies, you are not rejoicing. Wait a minute. You are not rejoicing because of your, you're not rejoicing because of your circumstances. You're not enjoying God and enjoying all, not because your circumstances change every single day, don't they? Every day. Your joy is not depending on your circumstances, huh? The Hebrew children, them boys wasn't rejoicing. I mean, their circumstances was bad. Any of y'all ever been in the fiery furnace? I imagine you have in the fiery furnace. Anybody here ever been in the bellies of the fish? No, yeah, I mean, anybody here ever had to sleep with the lion? I mean, the circumstances can get horrible. Your joy rests in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what your joy. If we can learn how to focus on that, even in our most dire circumstances, God will bless us. I'm working on that, huh? Y'all want to work on that with me? So we can stop going to pity city every time things don't go right? If that was the case, some of us would live in pity city, huh? Dry your eyes, baby. Your circumstances may not be to your approval, huh? But your joy isn't based on those circumstances, because God is the God of circumstances. The circumstances you are in today, he can change, because he's going to make them work out for your good, huh? He will take your fiery furnace and let you walk through it, and you won't even smell like smoke when you come out on the other side. Look down in your Bibles in 1 Peter, down at verse 17, I guess. How many of y'all like this? And if you call, because somebody's saying, well, Robert, how do I get there? All right. And if you call on the Father, we can just kind of stop it right there. If you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with, so we talked about that in Sunday school, with corruptible things like silver and gold and your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but again with the precious blood of Christ. If you call on the Father, look at verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for who? For you, who though through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Verse 22, since you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another with a pure heart. That's your practical lesson today. Working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, purifying your souls, is simple as this. If the Berean Missionary Church continues to love one another with an on fire love, fervently it says, and a pure heart, because we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Look at verse 25, the very last portion of it. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Would you stand? And God has spoken. God has spoken. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. What does he say? All flesh is as grass, and all glory of man is as the flower of grass, and the grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of God endures forever. And this is the word. This is the word. Let the church say, let the church.